Please turn again in your Bibles to that portion of Scripture which we read earlier, the third epistle of John. I want just for a few moments at the end of our service this afternoon to draw your attention to a very familiar character in this epistle, Gaius, the weak, strong man. That's how I want to describe him. Indeed, that's how this little epistle describes him. Not in so many words, but as we come to consider this character today, we will see very clearly that he was the weak, strong man. Look at verse 1 again. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Let's all bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for the testimony of this man, Gaius. We thank thee, Lord, for the example that he leaves us. And, O God, we do pray that as we study thy word today, that you would come, Lord, and teach us from thy truth. We pray, Lord, that thy word would come with freshness to our hearts, even those of us who would be familiar with this character. Lord, we pray that we might see something new in this passage of Scripture that we have never seen before. But Lord, we pray above all that thy word would find a resting place in our hearts. And O God, that we might follow the example of Gaius. We pray, Lord, again for those in our congregation who are sick, who need that touch from heaven. We thank thee, Lord, that you have promised to give help in time of need. And Lord, there are many in our congregation laid aside at this time. We ask thee, Lord, that they might know the help and the strength of the Lord. O God, minister unto their needs, I pray thee. I pray, Lord, that you would come now and close us in with yourself and help us, Lord, just to say those things that will be pleasing to thee. And to thee, Lord, we will give the praise, the glory, and every bit of the honour. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. When you study this third epistle of John, you learn, of course, that John here draws our attention to three different characters. The names of these three men are Gaius, Diotrephes, and Demetrius. The key verse in the epistle is verse 11. You should underline the verse in your Bible. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. In other words, John is exhorting God's people to follow those who set good examples, and not those who set bad examples. You see, when you study these three men that John speaks of in this epistle, you discover that two of them, namely Gaius and Demetrius, are commended by John because of their shining testimonies before others. These two men are walking with the Lord. They're seeking to live for Christ, and they're shining out in their testimony. In other words, Gaius and Demetrius are good examples to follow. While, on the other hand, the Apostle John warns against following the example of Diotrephes because of the evil work that he was doing in the church. Men and women, you must consider this epistle in the context of the church. John here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing to the church. John here is writing to the church. The apostle here is addressing the members of the body of Christ, and as he does so, he uplifts the testimony of two men who were an asset to the church, who were a blessing to the church, while he exposes the antics of one man who was a complete hindrance to the church. Therefore, the main message to the members of the church here was to make sure to follow the example of those who were walking with God. So important in these days, and we're going to see it even in this message today, that God's people walk with God. Now, it's great to be saved, and we all need to be saved. But it's so important that we remember that after we are saved, we walk with God. Because, child of God, the world's looking on. The world's looking on. We need to be a good example. We need to be a shining example. Now, I know that we're not going to be perfect. And, of course, the old world will always seek to pick holes in the child of God. But it is up to you and I, child of God, to seek in these days to walk in truth. And to live the truth of God out in our lives, that others might see Christ in us. And I believe, as John here writes to the church, these three characters, he's setting before the church how the church is to live, how the members of the church are to walk before the Lord. So important in these days that we have a good testimony before the world and before those around us. Now, as we come to consider Gaius, and we just want this afternoon to draw your attention to him, the weak, strong man, there's a number of things, very simply, that I want you to notice. And I pray that the Lord will bless these thoughts to all of our hearts. First of all, I want you to take a look at verse 2, and I want you to notice that Gaius was weak physically. We read here, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health." Now, I believe that we can say from these words that Gaius was suffering in some physical way. We're not told what his sickness was or how serious was his physical complaint. But the very fact that the Apostle John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, directs our attention to Gaius's health proves, I believe, he had some ailment in connection with his body. Why else would John mention his health if there was not a problem? Child of God, this is a very simple point, but I want to make it nevertheless. Even those who are faithful to God and who are seeking to live for the Lord can be weak in body. Now, we have drawn your attention to this fact in recent weeks. And here we can see it again. I don't want to labor the point, but the truth is this, that sickness will come to even the most faithful of God's servants. No one is immune to sickness as far as the body of Christ is concerned. And we're going to see in a moment very clearly that Gaius was a man who was walking with God. We have already emphasized that, and we're going to emphasize it again because it's certainly emphasized here in this portion of Scripture. A few weeks ago, we considered Lazarus. "He whom thou lovest is sick." And of course, we emphasized also on that occasion that the Apostle Paul, great man who served the Lord, had a thorn in the flesh. We also mentioned Job, and there are many others. But here again, as we consider this character, Gaius, we can see that he had some physical ailment. He was weak physically. But then, of course, when you take a look at verse 2, and I want to emphasize the latter part of it, I want you to notice that he was strong spiritually. You see, he was the weak, strong man. Although he was weak physically, he was strong spiritually. Because John here goes on to say, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. The word prospereth there means to go on well. To go on well. And of course, John here is speaking about Gaius's spiritual walk with God. And John's desire is that Gaius will go on well spiritually. What a wonderful testimony. Although his body is racked with pain, although physically he does not enjoy the best of health, yet spiritually Gaius is strong in the faith. He may not be prospering as far as his health is concerned, but as far as his walk with God is concerned, he is enjoying God's best. Gaius was a man who was saved and born again of the Spirit of God. He was a man whose soul had been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. But not only was he a man who was saved, but he was a man who was walking with God. Walking with God. You know, there's a great truth here, and it's this. Gaius did not allow his physical sickness to hinder his spiritual walk with God. Now, that can be hard at times. Because if you're sick physically, it is hard to be strong spiritually. Yet Gaius had not only accepted his physical complaint, but he had conquered it and was going on with God from strength to strength as far as his spiritual walk with God was concerned. You will notice that not only did the Apostle John testify of Gaius's strong spirituality, but so too did the believers in the church that Gaius was a member of. Look at verse 3. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Gaius did not only believe the truth and accept the truth, but he was walking in the truth. Child of God, the thing that is emphasized here is that Gaius' soul was not only saved, but was brimming over with spiritual life and vitality. The sad thing today is that many Christians live in a constant state of defeat. They know little about the life more abundant in Christ. They exist, they endure, but they do not enjoy living in fellowship with the Lord day by day because they allow their circumstances to dictate how they live. Oh, the secret of spiritual health and spiritual prosperity is not only receiving the truth, but also walking in the truth. Walking in the truth. Day by day, reading God's Word, studying the Bible, praying unto the Lord, and through the Word of God, allowing the Lord to speak to us and lead us and guide us in His will. Oh, what is your daily walk like? Child of God. You say you're saved. You say that you're born again of the Spirit of God. Are you walking in the truth? Those who come into contact with you day by day, how do they see you? What do they hear coming from your lips? Does your example and testimony of life lead men to Christ? You see, as John looked upon Gaius, and as the church looked upon Gaius, and as Gaius's family looked upon him, they saw that he was a man who walked in truth. You see, we must believe the truth, and we must accept the truth and be saved. And if you're not saved, then today that's your greatest need, to come and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, because if you don't, you'll end up in hell for all eternity. That's what the Bible says, the soul that sinneth it shall die. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. If you're not saved today, then the wrath of God abides upon you. You're under the condemnation of God, because you're condemned already. You need a Savior. You need to be redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. But those of us who are saved, Those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, not only are we to believe the truth and to accept the truth and to preach the truth, but we must walk. We must walk in the truth day by day. Keep your hand in the epistle of 3 John. Just turn over to Ephesians chapter 4 for a moment and look at verse 1. Here is how the Christian is to walk before a condemning world. Ephesians 4 verse 1, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. My, this is how we are to walk, child of God, day by day. Turn over to Romans chapter 13. Look with me there at verse 13. Again, Paul is writing to the Christians at Rome at this time. And this is what he says to them. Let us walk. Romans 13 verse 13. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering. That word chambering means a place of lying. A chamber is a place where you go in secret. What Paul is saying here, not to go and into a place of secret with others to lie and to cheat, not in chambering and wantonness. That word wantonness means lewdness. Not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Not make provision for the flesh. Oh, you can see here how we as Christians are to walk in this world of sin. Turn over to another passage of Scripture, over to 1 Thessalonians and the chapter 2, and look with me there at verse 12, and you'll read these words. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and the verse 12. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, rather, and the verse 12. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Why, there is how we are to walk. We are to walk that we might glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. That ought to be our ultimate aim, an ultimate goal in life. Of course, when the Apostle Paul was writing to the Christians in Corinth, just turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 for a moment, and you'll see here how we are not to walk. These Christians were not walking worthy of the Lord, and of course Paul condemned them for it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 3, for ye are yet carnal. He's speaking to the believers in the church here. For as there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal? And walk as men. My, underline those words. And walk as men. The way we walk before God will have an effect upon the people that live around us. Does others see Christ in our daily walk? You know, that's a question that we need to ask ourselves day by day. But here we have an example, a good example, Gaius. And as Gaius lived for the Lord, although he was weak in body, he was strong spiritually. His soul was prospering. He was shining out in his testimony. And others could see Christ in him. Oh, I pray, child of God, in these days in which we live, that others will see Christ in us. But turn back again to this third epistle of John. I want you to notice something else about Gaius. I want you to notice that Gaius was used in the work of God continually. The life and service of Gaius was dominated by faithfulness, hospitality, large-heartedness, generosity, and above all, love towards his fellow believers. Look with me there at verse 5. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren. Here's John speaking about Gaius. And to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. My, this great man of God knew what it was to be faithful to the Lord and to his brethren. He gave hospitality, not only to visiting preachers, but also to strangers. Indeed, if there was any way in which he could help the work of the Lord, Gaius would do it. He did things, perhaps, that many would think insignificant. But the Lord didn't think that they were insignificant, because the Lord here puts it into the heart of John to commend Gaius for the way that he was serving the Lord. My, his motive in his service was to bring glory and honor to Christ and to the work of God. He loved the Lord, and he loved the people of God. That's what we learn here. The word charity in verse 6, I'm sure you know this, means love. Have you ever considered, men and women, what the Bible says about charity, says about love? Well, just turn back to 1 John chapter 4 for a moment, and you'll see what the Bible says about love. First of all, God's love to us. Look at verse 9 of 1 John chapter 4. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Oh, thank God. When we consider love, we must start with God, because God first set his love upon the children of men. If you're not saved today, I want you to learn that. I want you to see that God loves you. He doesn't love your sin. He will judge your sin if you die without Christ. But he loves you. And he sent his Son, his only begotten Son, to die upon the cross in order to save you. And thank God today, if you were to come in repentance and faith and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Redeemer, then you would enter into his love, and he would forgive you for your sins and cleanse you from your iniquities. Well, that's God's love to us. But look at verse 19 of 1 John chapter 4, and you'll see our love to God. We love him because he first loved us. And of course, when we're saved, then we get a love for God and a love for God's work. And the reason why we love God is because he first loved us. But if we're saved today, then we will love the Lord our God with all our hearts and with all our souls and with all our minds. But then take a look there with me, please, at verse 7 of 1 John chapter 4. And you'll see not only God's love to us and our love to God, but you will see the Christian's love to one another. Because it says in verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Look at verse 11 of the same chapter. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Verse 12. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Look at verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar, for he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Gaius was a Christian. He was a believer who not only loved the Lord, but he loved the people of God. And he was used continually in the work of God. Oh, child of God, if there's a day and age when we need to love the Lord and love our fellow believers, then it is this day and age in which we live. The world will not love us. The enemies of the gospel will not love us. We've got to love one another. And of course, when we speak about love, it's love according to truth. Love according to truth. And we must, of course, preach the truth no matter who it offends. And even the Apostle Paul could say on one occasion, "Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" The reason why Paul preached the truth at all times was because he loved the people of God, and because he loved the work of God, and because he loved the Lord. John had great love towards Gaius. 3 John, verse 1, God's people must have brotherly love towards each other. Look what John says. "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth." Whom I love in the truth. So John here, he had love towards Gaius. It wasn't just that Gaius loved the brethren. No, John loved the brethren. And of course, the teaching is very simple, that we are to love one another in the Lord. We're to serve the Lord with all our hearts. There's one final thought, and I know the time's away. But Gaius was a man who was blessed eternally. We have said already that Gaius was saved. Of that, there's no doubt. Therefore, being a child of God, there's no doubt that at the moment he died, he went to be with Christ for all eternity. This very moment, Gaius is in heaven. And he will be in heaven for all eternity. And when we're saved, the Lord gives unto us everlasting life. I wonder today at the close of the meeting, my friend, do you have everlasting life? Are you saved? Are you born again of the Spirit of God? Are you trusting Jesus Christ as your own and personal Redeemer? In John chapter 5 and verse 24, we read these words. Let me emphasize them to you. The words of Christ, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." In John chapter 6 verse 27, we read these words. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labour not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." And in verse 40 it says, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last days." There's no greater blessing in this world than to have eternal life, to have the assurance of heaven. You know, friend, I might not know much of this world's education. I might not know much about this world's philosophies. But I know this, that the moment I die, it will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Have you that knowledge today? The knowledge of heaven? As you sit in God's house, can you truly say that you're on your way to heaven? Or do you have to confess, "I'm not saved and I'm on my way to a lost eternity"? Oh, friend, I pray this afternoon that you will come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. And I pray that, like Gaius, that you will have the assurance of a home in glory. Child of God, let us follow the example of Gaius. And let us pray day by day that the Lord will help us and give us the grace to walk in truth, to walk according to God's precious word. And then the Lord will bless us and the Lord will encourage us. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee today and we praise thee for thy precious word to our hearts and souls. O God, we confess, Lord, that we need thee to come afresh into our hearts and lives. Fill us with thy gracious Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that we might not only be saved, but Lord, that we might have that desire to walk with God. We pray for those that are backslidden and cold among your people. Oh God, we pray that you'll restore unto them the years that the locusts have eaten, even the weeks, the months that the locusts have eaten. For Lord, the old devil can get in so quickly and rob us of the joy of our salvation. But Lord, we pray that we might know what it is to live in the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit and to rejoice in the Spirit. Oh God, help us in these days, Lord, not to be worrying about tomorrow, not to be worrying about our health, not to be worrying about our business, not to be worrying about our families. Oh God, it's not thy will that we continually worry. It's not thy will, Lord, that we continually doubt thy power and thy grace. For Lord, you've promised to give grace and help in time of need in all situations. Oh God, we thank thee for this man that we have been looking at afresh. Our Lord, he was so weak in his body. He had so many things that were against him. And yet, he prospered in his soul. And he continued to serve the Lord, doing what he could for the Lord. Oh God, help us in these days to do what we can for thee. And we pray, Lord, that our worship and our walk will be acceptable in thy sight. We pray, Lord, that you would send us a breath of revival and help us, Lord, to get our priorities right. Help us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these other things, these temporal things, these things, Lord, that we need to live. And Lord, you know the needs, our physical needs, our material needs. You know all about those things, Lord. But Lord, if we put thee first and honor thee, then all these other things will be added. They'll be added unto us. They'll be given unto us. They'll be granted unto us. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it.